guys have a question, but I'll make sure you know when we get to that point. Now, Sonic the Hedgehog, as you know, is based on the global blockbuster video game. How many of you guys have played the game in here? You guys know it, right? And how many of y'all saw the movie last night? So great. You can be louder, guys. I'm excited for this because we are bringing out the cast right now of Sonic the Hedgehog. Come on out, you guys.
I smell children.
They smell you.
We do want to say really quickly that Tika could not be here today. She had some production commitments, so she couldn't be here today, but she is very much a valued member of this cast, and we are so thrilled to sort of share in this joy of this film with her as well. So, if you guys are wondering about that. Hi, guys. How are you feeling?
Hi.
Great.
Good. How are you?
Very good.
Awesome. Okay, so the first question
How
I have
are you?
To ask, I'm great.
No, really.
No, really.
This is the forum to talk about your feelings.
Thank
yeah.
you so much.
Just spew it out.
Just got back from a Grammys gifting lounge.
Oh, wow.
No. I would love to know, the first thing that came to my mind is, when you guys found out that you were going to be in this movie that's based on a video game, how many of you have actually played the game, and did you run out to play it right away to find out more about it?
Ben, why don't you start?
Sure. Hey, my name is Ben Schwartz. So I played the game when I was a kid. I played the 1 and 2 on the Genesis, and then I played Game Gear until the batteries ran out and all that stuff. And I got this fun, exciting experience because I kind of got the role of Sonic as a test. Jeff Fowler and Tim Miller came to me, and they're like, hey, we're going to do a little test just to see if we can sell it to studios. And they used me for that, and then luckily they liked my performance enough to keep me through it. So when I found out that I was going to be the voice, it was a huge deal because I played that game for so long and loved it so much. And I love animation and all that stuff. So for me, it was a huge deal. I was very excited.
What about you guys? Did you play?
Yeah, same here. Sonic was, 1991, I think, when it came out. So I was 42 years old. but I'm still a gamer, full-time gamer. No, but I did start with Atari and Intellivision and all the old gaming consoles. And then into, you know, Mario, and then Sega Genesis came along, and Sonic, and it was fast and cool, and it was like a little superhero, so I loved that, and I had to actually quit, otherwise I wouldn't have done anything productive with my life, but big time gamer for sure.
Awesome.
I was not a gamer. I feel that this is a game, and I am the perfect avatar for this game, fully loaded to the teeth. But you know, I'm getting into it. I'm really getting into it, and I've found I'm in a perfect position because I can lose the game on purpose and still win. I'm Robotnik.
Yeah, 1991, I was 13 years old and playing just everything, every game I could get my hands on. I played Sonic, and it was just, it was a game changer. I mean, the little blue guy with that much personality and that much attitude. I mean, I think every teenager in the world kind of saw a little bit of themselves in Sonic. And I think that remains true to today, and that's why it was such an exciting opportunity to translate Sonic for a movie. And then we just could not be happier with where it landed. But it all started with 91, with that little blue guy with the attitude, and yeah, just so excited to be bringing this to audiences.
Yeah, I grew up playing the game, so it's just such an honor to be able to bring this character to the big screen.
All right, so Ben, I would love to know, how do you do research on a role like Sonic? Like, where do you pull from?
I lived with a group of hedgehogs for 3 years. I attacked this like Daniel Day-Lewis attacks all of his roles. The way that I did it kind of was, I played the games again, which was a beautiful excuse to keep playing the games. But for me, when I read the script by these two great writers, I saw the character as kind of like a little kid. And in the film, this little kid is kind of in a cave by himself for a while, and finally he gets out of the cave, and he's allowed to do all these things he's always wished and dreamed he could do. So the speed of those first games, I tried to bring into his personality, and then the script lent itself to me, be like, oh, what if this little kid was so excited to get out there and finally get out there and hang out with his best friend or the guy that he always wanted to hang out with and do all these fun things. So in my performance, whenever he's talking or anything like that, I try to do it that when you hear it, you kind of feel like the energy of that young kid trying to do all those things that he's always dreamed to do. And he just happens to look like
Set for stun.
Wow, you are like Sonic, man. Yeah. You speak quickly.
Oh, yeah. We've been doing a lot of these interviews. So that was the whole idea, try to feel that heart, that love, and that comedy in there.
Now, we have a lot of kids in the audience here today, and I know they probably have some questions for you guys. We're going to get to those in a second.
They're not out there. Where are your hands?
Where are the kids?
Where are the kids? There you are.
All right.
All right.
You're the future of the world.
All right, so I have to talk to Donut Lord for just a second. I have to address a little bit of a bromance.
Address the Lord?
Yeah. The Lord.
Yes. The Lord of Donuts.
There was definitely some bromance, some really great friendship developing between you guys. Between Sonic and Tom, and I would love to know, first of all, what were you acting with? Like, what kind of physical things did you have to develop a relationship with?
Great question. I've tried to tune them out of my life, but let's go back and remind me what it was. It was a blue sandbag that I would hold when I had to hold Sonic, so it looked like I was holding something with weight. It was a little crudely made stuffed animal with a back.
The sandbag was the good days.
The sandbag was good days.
Those were the easy days.
Staring at you like that. And then most of the time it was a tripod with a little piece of tape, because obviously we couldn't have the character there, because the animators were going to create the character. So I was trying not to lose my mind and go crazy, staring into middle distance space and talking to something that wasn't there. But it was cool because I got to use my imagination, sort of turn myself back into a kid again, and bring myself into that world, and just rely on the imagination, I guess. Yeah.
I have always had a dialogue going with the imaginary character. It's a bungee jumper that lives in my nose.
Does he have a name, Jim? Does the bungee jumper have a name?
Flurby.
Oh, it's Flurby.
It comes out every once in a while when I laugh.
Oh,
we'll get you a tissue if that happens. Yeah. Jim, you are such a joy to watch on screen. You act with every part of your body.
I know.
Every facial muscle, everything. We feel it and we enjoy it. I would love to know, when you get a character like this, what sort of shapes and informs your choices when you are creating this character that we've never really seen before?
Well, here's the thing. You wouldn't think much thought goes into it, but every character has to have an origin, you know? For Robotnik, I figured, it's not really that fleshed out in the game, so I have to really think about where this guy comes from, and it's genius coupled with a complete feeling of worthlessness, Obviously, he wasn't loved. He wasn't loved properly. He didn't get the affection he needed. And he turned against the world and wanted to punish the world for that. I believe the characters are like lightning. They come from the ground up. It's deceiving. You think it's all on the outside, but it's actually from the center of the earth. And that's that original belief about yourself, So I think that this character is the absolute manifestation of pure ego, with absolute abandonment, and it's so much fun to play.
It looked like you were having fun with it. It definitely did. So we've got a producer down here. We've got a director down here. I would love to know from you guys, as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of nostalgia here. This video game was in our homes for a lot of us. Any 90s kids out here today? Anybody play video games? You guys remember?
A lot of low voices.
But there's definitely very much a nostalgia attached to this character and this game. What were some of the challenges you faced when you were creating a full-fledged feature film based on this video game character?
I think it's just finding a way to really make everything as relatable as possible. I think you really want, action is fun to design, comedy, you bring funny people together and they do funny stuff. But really what makes movies like this really land and be great is heart and emotion and relatability. So yeah, it's a lot of fun that Sonic has super speed and that he's awesome and fast talking, but you want the audience to really be rooting for him on a deeper level, on an emotional level. So I think that creating that relatability and that kind of connection, and for kids and parents and anyone who of all ages to see a little bit of themselves in Sonic and to be rooting for him for that reason, that really is what I think we worked the hardest on.
And when people online said, no, we don't like it, go back and try again.
Like, we got time, sure. We'll make some changes.
You left right on it, man. It's like, good.
Thank you very much.
So you're all part of it.
That leads into my next question.
What's your favorite type of soda?
Grape soda. I love grape soda.
Moving on. No, thank you so much for bringing that up, because I do want to address the fact that when you guys first released the trailer, some of the fans said, hey, this isn't the Sonic that we sort of envisioned for this movie. What was your reaction to that, and how did it sort of alter the course of the film?
I was just message received. I think it was, you got to respect the fans. I mean, they're the reason we had the opportunity to make this movie. They've loved Sonic for almost 30 years. You got to listen to that. I mean, we were so excited about the story we have to tell, so excited, had so much fun making the movie. We were just really wanted the audience and the core fans to just to be on board in a big way. And if that meant going back to the drawing board a little bit with Sonic, then we were happy to do it. And it could not be more excited about where we landed.
And I want to talk a little bit about social media itself. For you guys as actors, it seems like it's such a prevalent thing that you have to be on nowadays. But do you really feel like you need to be pushing your latest project or what you're working on or sharing behind the scenes? Like, what is your relationship with social media?
Whenever James is test driving a Ferrari, I see his Instagram lights up. or
there's none of beaches and fast cars and yachts on social media, so I thought I'd show all of mine that I borrow.
I found that there's a big I tour doing improv in different cities and stuff, and for me at the beginning when I was performing at different improv theaters, it's hard to get word out about anything because, you know, unless you came to our theater. But now we're able to tell different cities that we're coming, and now we're able to create content. You know, at the beginning when I was making short films right before YouTube existed, the only people that would see were people that come to the shows. And now we have an opportunity that if you want to be a comedian or if you want to be a writer, you can write and try to put your words out there or act. So I feel like that avenue of creating content and having people actually, like, you know, if you want to do these things, you could actually give it a shot, and it will cost what you probably have in your phone already. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Right from the very beginning, it was like, you know, when I started watching the phenomenon happen, it was like, I know that sooner or later this is going to turn into a canvas of some sort that I can use, you know. So for me, it was a canvas for art, for cartoons, for, you know, opinion. And I think it's wonderful in that respect. I think it's fantastic.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'll just say one of my favorite things about sort of the campaign so far has been we do this thing called Fan Art Friday, and it's basically reposting fan art, and it's one of my favorite things to see.
Fart for short.
But to see artists doing their artwork, and you have the internet is there to create, just to get it out there, and it can be seen by a lot
fart.
Of people.
You just steamrolled Jim. It is called fart, right?
It is called fart.
Okay, it is good. Now. Hashtag fart.
Well, and I think one of the great viral things about the Sonic community is you'll see the fans supporting each other for the fan art and really encouraging each other.
Now you
to
can't
send this
think
out.
About
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Fart. Farts are funny, right, kids?
Right.
Always funny.
Give them one, Jim.
That's the secret to everything.
I'm so glad that we're talking about this.
I'm so glad we're talking about farts.
It was going to happen sooner or later. We actually got really bored.
What better place to talk
You're
about farts?
You've lost all control. The fart's out of the bag.
The reason I bring that up is because this room is filled with a lot of content creators, a lot of people who post online and on social media, and who are going to be posting fart memes all day.
We understand.
I want to get to them and their questions, you guys. If you have a question, please reach me. I'm going to stand up so I can see everybody. We have a couple of microphones.
It's the one with the glove.
Hold on, let's see. We've got a little kitty cat glove right over here. I'm going to...
Oh, that's Sonic!
Yay! You stand up on the chair?
Stand up on the chair. Come up to the front.
We're with assistance.
Yeah,
you don't want to be responsible.
She looks amazing.
You guys, don't forget to, if you want to see your outlet.
They're so cute.
Do you guys get to improvise a lot?
I love that you just asked that question.
Look what you started.
In the first act, did you really have an all is lost moment?
Like a very specific
What is I got this little kid. we can go down the line. Jeff Fowler did an incredible job directing this film, and this is his first big movie that he was able to direct, and for me, and then you can go down through these incredible actors, but when we were doing my lines as Sonic, we would do it as is, and then we would always have room to play and improvise and kind of try stuff out, because Jeff is one of those great creators that wants to collaborate and wants the best for the movie. Whatever's the best for the movie, he wants to join in and make it together. So we were able to do a lot of different versions, a lot of different jokes, a lot of different things, and then whatever the best was for the moment, we kind of kept in there. But what was it for you guys?
Same thing, actually. We would do it as written. We got the script where we wanted it to be. The scenes felt good. The dynamic between us was like a good little banter back and forth, and we would do it as written, and then sometimes we just go off the page a little bit and improvise and have fun with it. If it worked, great. If it didn't, then, you know, you cut it out of the movie.
Jeff told me that the script was written in stone.
Anybody else can do stuff, but not Jim
Carrey. Not me. I was not allowed to create on this movie. No, of course. It's a combination always of things, and you... you get a little a bit of this and a little bit of that. To me, I read the script, I love the script, and I learn the script, and then the writer inside my brain starts working, and then I start dreaming, and then I over breakfast, something happens, and by the time I get to the set, I have 10 or 15 ideas I want to try, and the memory of the script goes out the window temporarily, and then it's, you know, it's a matter of maybe three of the ideas I came up with getting in the film. Is that about right?
I think there's a few more than
something
three.
Like that. And the rest are like tacked up on poles and on people's foreheads so that I don't have to use my memory. And I can just go kind of when I glance around and catch something, it happens. And then there's the stuff on the set. When you're really in it and you're really having fun and you really understand your character, things grow, you know, just things pop out. It's like popcorn. It's wonderful popcorn.
And I think the perfect example of that, you guys have all seen the movie, is that dance scene in the mobile lab. And that is just Jim being down for something really, really wild and fun and crazy. And he pitched that, and I was like, that sounds amazing.
And the entire thing will be in Fortnite.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I love the line about Charlotte's Web and her sack.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
I have a lot in my house.
Well, you know, you got to do something for the adults here and there.
I love it. Okay, let's go. Any kids back here? All right, let's see. You guys have microphones back there?
Right here.
Go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
What was your favorite scene in the film?
Favorite scene?
Favorite scene in the film.
Ooh, in the film. Jump in. My favorite scene in the film was having to get to do a fight scene with Jim Carrey. Which is pretty cool. Yep. Inside a spaceship, an egg pod, I guess. Yes. Yeah. That was my favorite.
And that's actually really incredibly fun for me, too. That it's doing an action sequence on top of this, you know, space machine that Robotnik's created. And you don't see the whole thing when you're doing it. It's all blue screen, and the engines aren't on it yet, and everything like that. And then you start to see these incredible graphic artists take over and embellish and create the rest of the scene. And I love the whole process. To me, I'm looking forward because I haven't seen the finished graphics and everything like that. And what I've seen, the little glimpses I've seen, are really astounding and beautiful. So I love seeing it all come together like that.
There's a scene where I play on a baseball, or Sonic plays on a baseball field, and I get to play all these different versions of Sonic, pretending he's like, you know, playing first base and in the outfield. And Jeff was so great that I could kind of do little voices for everybody, so I'm kind of playing six versions of the same character, and it was so fun because exactly what Jim said, for me, I record something, and I have no idea what it's going to look like, and then a year later, I see actual video of what Sonic looks like doing these things. And the animators did such an incredible job. The emotion, I had these little dots on my face with the camera, so anytime I emoted, they could copy it and kind of help with the animation of Sonic's face. So to see all that come to life was so, so fun. It's one of the reasons why I love cartoons, animated movies, and all that stuff.
Awesome. Okay.
Also, Lee Majdoub, who was my sidekick in the movie,
was
phenomenal. He was so fantastic, so willing to go anywhere. And I mean, it's a bit of like a Clouseau-Cato type of relationship, you know. So before the take, I'd say to him, like, do you mind if I grab you by the jaw? And he'd be like, yeah, let's go.
You know? I wouldn't wait for him to answer. I would just go, and action.
I liked Baby Sonic and the Green Hill Zone. To me, that is just such a beautiful place, and I would love to visit there.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, very nice. I'll be right here in the front. Do you guys need a microphone? Or go ahead, or just shout it out. You're close enough.
All right, I'll ask Vern because now he's getting embarrassed. So I'm Adam. This is Mark. I run DadRocks.com. It's a dad blog.
Cool.
And the question is, what would the advice that you'd instill to a kid that was interested in getting into acting?
Well, I would just say that your dreams are real things. And that, you know, if you couple your dreams, no matter how amazing they are, with a lot of hard work and effort, and you keep trying to chugging toward them and make yourself believe they can happen, amazing things happen. That's all. That's all I can say. Believe in miracles.
Great advice. Thank you so much. You guys, we have
time. I disagree. No. I don't know who this guy is, but.
We definitely have time for your questions, or you get to a couple more. Way back here in the back. I see you standing up. Go ahead.
My name's Kaden, and my question is, what do you want kids to learn from this movie?
Oh, great question.
I would love for kids to watch this movie, have a great time, and come away with the, from watching the movie, understanding the importance of accepting people, things, animals, anything that may be different from you, and finding friendships in maybe unlikely places, and the importance of connection, and the importance of friendship.
Awesome. You're right over here. You've been waiting so patiently. You're standing here with your hand up. I see you. Right here. Can we get him a mic? A mic over there?
Yeah.
I don't need a microphone.
Why is Dr.
Robotnik.
The supercilious.
Why is Dr. Robotnik so angry?
Why is he so angry? I'll tell you why he's so angry. Because he's very, very lonely in his heart. And he tried to make himself happy by owning everything and building something that no one else could build. And he was focused on that, and he lost that little part of himself that is Sonic. And Sonic is the absolute example of pure kid-like, you know, pure, innocent, electric play energy that Robotnik doesn't have and he can't own. And I'd say that, you know, there's a lot of people out there with a Sonic-shaped hole in their heart, you know?
Amen.
We have one more back here, you guys. In the very back, I see you standing up, Swing. What's your question? Do you have a microphone? Oh, here, we'll give him a mic.
Why does Dr.
Dr. R.
Robot want to steal Sonic's power?
Why does Dr. Robotnik want to steal Sonic's power?
Because Sonic is special. Sonic has a divine spark. Sonic looks at the world like play. And Robotnik can't do that. He's so concerned with what people think of him. And making a mark that can never be erased in the world, and that's what people get caught up in sometimes. And you know, the real magic in life is to hang on to that kid in you.
Okay, right here in the front row, Kathy, just shout out.
Yes, what drew you to each of your characters when you guys got the script? What made you say, this is who I want to play, this is what I want to do?
For me, it was
money.
The money, man. I will not money. Get out of bed for at least $5 million. No, it was. I played this game as a kid. It was the role. Like, imagine the thing that you loved the most growing up, and someone's like, "Oh, do you want to play that now?" I was like, "Oh my goodness, that's an option." So for me, it was that. Also, I love the idea that. But for me, it was like watching the Disney Afternoon and playing video games when I was a kid. Those are things that really influenced me. And Calvin and Hobbes, Bill Watterson, all these wonderful things. And so for me, that's how I was introduced to creativity and really loving art and really loving comedy. So I thought, man, how lucky am I that I could possibly be someone's entryway into what Sonic is? And a child here may not have seen Sonic before, and the voice that I give might connect with them in a way that made me as excited to watch cartoons or to play video games. So I was so excited that I was able to be a part of the legacy of what is this character.
I wanted to do it because I got to be Sonic's best friend. That's it. That was it. Number one best friend of Sonic's right here.
Donut Lord.
I wanted to do it because we're watching all these machines and robots and stuff come to life, right, in our lives. And some of us are worried about it. And, oh my gosh, is it going to take my job? Maybe it'll be an actor better than me, you know, and stuff like that. And people are putting chips in their head and they'll be like attached to the Library of Congress. Or like you'll try to talk to somebody and eventually, you know, they'll kind of gloss over and you'll realize you're watching a movie, aren't you? Inside your retina, you know? And so there's all these things that are happening so fast. And for me, this character is a way to take that and whatever fears we might have and turn it into something funny and fun and deal with those things, you know?
Okay, one more question back here. Right here, you've been waiting. I see you standing up. I love your hair. It's very cool.
My name is Chase, and can any of you guys run as fast as Sonic?
Can you guys run as fast as Sonic?
Oh, my goodness. Toby, show him.
Watch this game.
I really wish I could.
Remember when Jim said, believe in your dreams? Toby, show. Run! Run!
Anything's possible, man.
I'll meet you in the parking lot.
I just did a circle around the room. Did you notice?
Oh, unbelievable, Jim.
I felt a breeze go by. Guys, thank you so much. How about a big round of applause for the guests?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Great questions. Awesome questions.
Thank you.